Hello, and welcome to the Hull Libraries podcast. In this episode, we had a chat with John Beeney, who along with Freddie Garland form local dance troupe 10 Foot Dance. Head over to their website 10footdancecompany.com to find out more and see some examples of their work. So we talked to John about his Billy Elliot style transition from rugby player to professional dancer, breaking down the stereotypes around dance and some of the varied projects and performances he's been involved with in Hull and beyond. So sit back and relax, or set out to roam about and enjoy our chat with John from 10 Foot Dance.
Ten Foot Dance is a contemporary dance and physical theatre company based in Hull. And myself and Freddie Garland, Freddie is short for Frederick. A lot of people mistake her for another fella, but it's me and
like
Freddie.
I did.
Yeah, but really, it's not the first dance company that I've had in Hull. Back in the 90s, when I came back to Hull after training in dance, I set up a company called Y Dance Company. And we was going around schools, touring schools, doing a lot of work. And then for a period, I went off and left Hull again as a freelancer and did loads of performance work for other companies and outside the city. Me and Freddie go back a long way. She used to come to my adults contemporary dance classes when I was teaching in the city. When I came back, I was doing a project for Wembley for the rugby league, and Freddie's daughter was involved in it. So Freddie came to the rehearsals one evening to pick up her daughter and said, "I've got an idea for a project I'd love to speak to you about." And one thing led to another, and that led to another company.
So going back to the start then, how did you get into this? What's your background?
Well, my background is rugby, actually. Rugby league. Yeah, I played rugby league. I was going to be a professional rugby league player, and that's all I wanted to do as a kid. I was, you know, I didn't come from a rugby family. My dad was his ex-amateur motorcycle wrestler, and I don't know. I went rugby training, fell in love with it, and then I got a head injury. I toured with Great Britain at under 18s. I was British Player of the Year. And then I went to Hull Kingston Rovers to play for their academy squad, and I suffered a head injury after the game. I felt awful after the game, took me to hospital, and I died for a brief moment of time. They brought me back to life.
How old was you?
I was 19.
Wow, that sounds traumatic.
Yeah, but it kind of, you know, from then on, it changed my life for the better, really. You know, my then partner was pregnant with our first child as well. So I was 19 and expecting a kid. So I was a little bit like, right, I need to sort myself out. But going back, I had a great drama teacher at school, and I'd always loved performing as a kid. I loved watching Michael Jackson. I loved dancing like Michael Jackson. I loved break dancing and stuff like that. And I was I've got a twin. I'm a twin brother. My brother's a builder. But and my dad's a builder, and I just didn't want to be a builder. Just didn't want to do it outright. And then when rugby didn't take off, or when I suffered the injury, I'd gone in to do a performing arts course at Wyke College at sixth form. You had to do dance on the course, and I just fell in love with it because it was so similar to rugby training.
Bit like a Billy Elliot, aren't you?
Yeah, I get that a lot, actually. I get that a lot, yeah. The training aspect of it just really made me fall in love with it, and still does now. I still really love that element of it, pushing my body and challenging myself. And so when I had to do dance on the course, it just felt like a real natural progression. And then, like I say, my drama teacher at school, she got me to play Fred Astaire in a school play. And I started watching old movies of Fred Astaire and just fell in love with him. I thought he was amazing.
So you just had that pull, and it grabbed you straight away.
Yeah. I watched Top Hat, the film with Fred Astaire in it, and I was like, this guy is super cool. He's just super, you know, he's super cool. The way he moves is really cool. Yeah, he's class. And I just thought if rugby doesn't go the way that I want it to, then maybe I can go into performing.
But dance is so disciplined, because I did dance for years, and it's such a disciplined craft, and you've got to really push yourself, and it's so physically demanding and mentally demanding. There's quite a lot of similarities with rugby in a weird way, I think, because it's a lot of discipline and a lot of focus and working in a team and having each other's back. Because if you're in a routine and a troop, you've got to know everyone's timing, positioning, who's coming in when. And I think it's quite similar. And I know a lot of rugby players, because my hubby's an ex-rugby player. They used to do ballet and yoga, and it was to turn and to strengthen the muscles.
Your husband is...
Dale.
Yeah, and his brother's Dave.
Yeah.
And his dad's Roy.
Yeah.
And Roy coached me at West Hull.
Yeah. Oh, well, after this, I'll find out loads from you. There'll be a load of stories. Yeah. How fun is that? So do you agree with that then? Do you think there are similarities in that kind of...
I'm trying to have these conversations all the time. That one thing I think that the dance world is missing is not taking... on board a lot of elements that the sport world takes on, you know, because it sees itself as arty. Dancers are athletes, just like boxers, just like rugby players. You know? Yeah. And when I trained for Great Britain at rugby, and I was playing for West Hull. So I would train Tuesday, Thursday and club rugby. And then I would train for Great Britain. And then I would train sometimes Saturday and play Sunday. And I thought I was super fit. And then when I went to dance school, I was like,
it's another level.
Yeah, another level.
It works muscles in your body that you didn't even know you had. The pain, I remember in the morning getting up and going to school or college and just thinking, how am I going to get through the day? Because I'd worked my body so hard.
Having a break, when I had a break from dance school, so like when they run 10 times, like normal school, I would... because I had a young child at the time. I didn't go on train while I was 21. And so I would spend time on the building sites trying to earn money in between dance school. But every time you go back, you do that first week at dance school, the pain of walking up the stairs, I always remember it. And I like, in some way, it becomes addictive. Like, that's the thing that pushes you on.
So this course you did, where was the course? White College. And that had an element of dance in it that you wasn't... you didn't realise it was going to be in because it was more drama, and then you really took to the dance. And where did you go from there?
So after I did the BTEC in Performing Arts, I joined... there was another local lad who'd come back to Hull who trained at the Northern School of Contemporary Dance. And he came back to Hull and he set up in partnership with White. It was all timing. The timing was crazy, really. How old would I have been? 16, 17, 18. So while I was at Wyke, I was still playing rugby and I was playing for Great Britain. I was on that tour. I was doing really well. And then this guy came back, Danny Thompson, Brand's own lad. And he was an ex-amateur boxer and he'd gone off and trained at the Northern School. And he came to Wyke and set up a partnership. He wanted to form an all-boys dance company, touring schools to try and get lads interested in dance. And it coincided with my kind of final year at Wyke. So I joined this, I said, oh, I'll stay here and join this dance company. And that led to me touring schools, performing in schools and learning how to teach workshops. And so I kind of did it all back to front, really. I learned how to teach and I learned how to perform before I actually went and did my dance, my actual full-on dance training. But I'm really glad I did it that way because it gave me a load of skills that I already had. So when I graduated dance school, I just felt so comfortable going back into teaching and going back into that side of things.
So you had all that experience of working in schools, encouraging children, inspiring them probably, because some might have never been in a dance lesson before.
Yeah. And I mean, like, you know, seeing Danny, meeting Danny as well, he was, you know, like I say, Brand's own lad, ex-boxer, you know, he looked like a boxer as well, you know, his nose was a bit busted up and stuff like that. And it was meeting people like that that just went, well, yeah, lads can dance, you know, we can dance if we want to dance. It doesn't have to be, you know, like all the stereotypes that go along with it. I've got tattoos and all kinds. I've got my son's name tattooed here. Who's Jack? Is that your boyfriend? It's like, well, why? I actually went on to teach for a company that specialise in dance in criminal justice settings and working with young offenders.
And was the idea behind that to, what was your aim with that? To, was it youth offenders or all ages?
Yeah. No, it was a 12-week dance programme for kids that had either committed a crime or was at risk of committing a crime. They got referred to us from the youth offending teams to come and do our 12-week programme. And it was basically to, again, to show them skills like teamwork, you know, build their confidence, turn up on time. You know, the first 3 weeks was intensive to get to create a performance, and then we put it on stage. We'd invite parents, friends and families, and we'd boost their confidence, and then we'd go on to teach them loads of other skills. So it was...
How did that go down? How did they react to it?
Well, the usual. I've had it my whole career. You know, the first week or so, they come in, they go, I'm not doing this. What are you talking about? I'm not doing this, blah, blah. And then as soon as you start a session, they're like, you know, you start doing...
Do like a warm-up and go through like a rough idea of what that class would have been like. Did you start with a warm-up with a bit of music that would get them into it or...?
Yeah, so, I mean, we was kind of fortunate at that time because this project had a lot of funding, so we had live musicians, actually. We had drummers.
Fantastic, like, yeah.
There's nothing like having live music. If you're doing a ballet class, a pianist, if you're doing contemporary, like, drummers, I've just played class this morning, played the drum for class, and the energy that they bring. So these kids are like, wow, this is amazing, you know. And, you just slowly start and get them on side, and when they realise that it's also about your character, isn't it? You know, it's like good coaches in sport, you know, like Roy, you know, for me, for rugby, when you meet characters like that that inspire you, you want to do well for them. And you end up, a lot of these kids, especially with the youth offending work, they don't have male role models in their lives. You know, the fathers are absent and stuff like that. So they're looking for people like that. They're looking for, you know, somebody to kind of spur them on and inspire them and, you know, I mean, I was super fortunate. My mum and dad was together and really positive and, yeah, you go and do whatever you want to do, son, and supported me going into dance, you know what I mean? And all my brothers and sisters. So I was fortunate in that regard.
And from there, what else have you been doing? Where did your career take you after that bit?
Well, after I graduated in 2005, I came back to Hull and I set up this company, One Dance, with another great dancer in Hull. And again, another lad, Orchard Park lad, Mark Pierce, and he's still in Hull now teaching and doing stuff. And so me and Mark set this company up and went off and did a lot of work in schools and again, and trying to get lads involved in dance. And we was very successful for a while. And then I went through a personal kind of separation with my ex and got kind of headhunted in a way by the company in Bradford for the young offenders. And then coming towards the end of that 4 years with the company, I wanted to see if I could still maybe perform, because I'd done 1 year's kind of performing with a company in Newcastle, and then I'd gone back into the teaching, but I wanted to see if I could perform and if my body still could do it, you know. And so I went and, yeah, I went and did an audition in Swindon, got a job for a company in Swindon, a dance company. That led to an even bigger job with a company in Newcastle, Ballet Laron, who, amazing company, do great work. And they've been to Hull a few times with their shows. And I actually performed, my first performance was with Ballet Laron in a under fives show for kids. A kid's piece that was brilliant called Underneath the Floorboards.
And was that, is that a company that deals with school workshops? Are they?
Ballet Laron, they do have an education and outreach set up, but it wasn't, when I was with the company, that wasn't predominantly what they was doing. When I was with the company, they was making performance pieces, touring theatres. But now they do a lot of outreach, and most dance companies do have an education and outreach strand now, because the funding is such that they want these companies to make contact with communities and stuff like that. And again, it's why I ended up getting a lot of work for companies, because I had that experience. And it's a big part of what we do at Tenfoot. So, you know, like, we want to be in the community teaching workshops and getting as many people involved in projects as we can. You know, it's nice to create performance pieces and be in a theatre. But for me, I'm more interested in passing on my knowledge and the skills that I've got and inspiring people about dance, you know.
So let's talk about 10 Foot then. You mentioned it's contemporary and physical theatre, but explain what physical theatre is to the listeners.
Well, physical theatre is, it can be a mixture of dance, acting, you know, spoken word. Again, it's just another term that kind of pushes itself away from dance in a way. If you use the word dance, everybody has this preconceived idea that it's strictly come dancing and it's girly and stuff like that. So, but physical theatre, one of the first companies I saw do it was Deviate. Again, a great piece exploring macho, you know, macho behaviours between men. And there's this great, amazing duet that happens in a bar where they've got a pint of beer and they're rolling over a pool table and stuff like this. And physical theatre is just what it says. It's just theatre that is, you know, super physical, really. And so,
are you for all ages? Have you got a base anywhere in Hull, or are you more, do you visit schools instead? How does your company work?
Well, we don't have a base in Hull, partly because we don't really want to be associated with a base. We are looking for some kind of premises because now we've got a Parkinson's. We do a movement session, a dance and movement session for people with Parkinson's. COVID has put that on hold a lot. So we're chomping at the bit to get these guys back in the studio. And, you know, and these guys really want to get back in. But that's in partnership with Hull Truck. So we do a lot. We do a lot with Hull Truck with the Parkinson stuff. And then we go into schools. We go into youth centres. It's tough for dance in Hull, I have to say. I think it's difficult in Hull because we have such a great network of dance schools, but they're all very reluctant to collaborate because they're businesses, you know. And it's understandable, you know, they don't want to lose students to other dance schools, you know. And I'll be completely honest, you know, the dance world is super bitchy. You know what I mean? And everybody's got an opinion.
I think that's where my thick skin came from, was the world of dance.
Yeah, well, it doesn't surprise me at all, because you have to be, you know. And I think rugby and everything put me in really good stead to be able to cope with that side of it.
Yeah.
I just don't fall for it. I just want to work with people, anybody, doesn't matter who you are, anybody. We just want to work with you. And so 2017, City of Culture, I probably did the most amount of work I've ever done in Hull.
Which of the projects were you involved with for the City of Culture?
Well, it was strange because they commissioned a company called Protein Dance to come and do a show called Invisible Dancing. And I've been touring that show since 2010. So, and they're a London-based company. So they employed this London-based company and I was already working for them. So that ended up being one show that I was involved in. And then the Royal Ballet, they came, they did a mass piece and I was on top of the church. I got involved in that, like standing on top of the church, waving my arms around.
On the stuff. Minster, did you?
On the Minster, yeah. Yeah, in a rather nice costume, I have to admit. But, and then what else? Yeah, Assemble Fest during 2017. We closed off Newland Ave. And we did a big parade down Newland Ave. I choreographed a section called Dancing Mums. So I'd choreographed a piece on an all-female company with prams and it was all moving around and stuff like that.
That was a brilliant year for the city, wasn't it? And the legacy that's continued.
Yeah, amazing, amazing. I mean, you know, like it's everything, again, you know, like I say, everybody's going to be a critic. Everyone's going to have something to say, but I think 2017 was a massive turning point for the city, you know, regeneration and just like friends of mine from outside the city, my wife, you know, my wife's Italian and she'd been based in London for years, you know, she came and saw the blade, you know, wow, this is amazing. I flew back from Italy to be part of the Sea of Hull.
Oh, did you get all painted up?
I got painted blue and was stood on the street.
You'll get involved in everything, you.
Well, yeah, no, because it's just great, though, isn't it? It's great.
Where did the name 10 Foot Dance come from?
Well, 10 Foot, your 10 Foot Dance.
I thought it might be the term 10 Foot, but I just wondered.
No, we wanted something that was local to Hull. We wanted something that Hull people knew. And I had an idea for a project that it hasn't happened yet, but it is going to happen at some point where we perform down 10 Foots.
With plenty of them in the city.
Loads of them, yeah. And you know, I'm determined to create this piece and do a little tour of all the 10-foots in Hull. We'll make it happen at some point. I want to collaborate with, there's a great photographer friend of mine called Rich Wiles, who does amazing work in the community with refugees and asylum seekers. And I'd love to turn a 10-foot into a gallery space. So you can hang pictures down a 10-foot, people can come and look at the artwork. It, you know, it can be paint, it can be whatever, and then we can do a performance piece down 10-foots, you know.
Have you seen the amphitheatre near the Deep? Have you ever performed in that space? That's a fantastic space, I thought.
Fantastic. I love it. I love that space. And we've got a show on YouTube that you can see us performing on there called The Way We Were. So our biggest piece that we've created so far in Hull is that piece called The Way We Were. And we did it for Remembrance Day and we performed it in Paragon Station. And so it starts off, it's a collaboration with Kingston Swing, a local swing dance company who do great classes. I'd recommend anybody go to their classes. They're fantastic, great fun. And this piece is on YouTube, so if you want to watch it, you can. We do an old kind of swing routine at the beginning, and me and Freddie do this duet, and I play a soldier that is going to go off to war. We do this duet, and then I leave and go off to war, and then we did a collaboration with some tea dance veterans based in Beverly, and then these guys come on, they do this lovely waltz, a Catherine Waltz sequence dance. And then I come back on and I dance with this amazing lady from Hull, Iris Newbold, I shouldn't say a lady's age, but she's 94. And I get to do this amazing waltz with Iris.
That's lovely.
As if she's remembering, a soldier that went off to war and never came back, kind of thing. And that we performed that on the stage at the dock. We did a piece for the Amy Johnson Festival on there. It was one of our first commissions. And I've also done Tommy Coyle's training sessions on there. He sets his gym equipment up there, and I've done some of them.
Yeah, well, I was walking the dog, sat eating a bacon sandwich, didn't realise that was on, and I sit eating that, watching them all, like, proper going for it. I felt absolutely terrible.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, everybody else will have been jealous of you rather than you being jealous of them.
I walked away. I thought, that's just cruel. I won't sit in front of them.
That's brilliant.
So which amazing places in the world have you worked as a company?
10-foot at the minute is very, very early. So in terms of amazing places in the world, I would say that 10-foot, as it is predominantly the most amazing place, is Hull.
Well, that's amazing. And then yourself as well?
But myself, I've toured all over the place. I was part of a show that did a British Council tour. So I've performed in Japan, Thailand, India, Colombia, most of Europe, and I've done my own projects, my teaching projects in Ethiopia, and I've worked in Palestine with kids learning their traditional dance. Yeah, we've been very, very fortunate to see the world.
Do you feel these experiences inspire you for new projects?
Yes, yeah, 100%. Africa completely changed me. Working in Ethiopia, because at that time I had two kids. When I came back from Ethiopia, I was like, right, you don't need that. You don't need that. That's going. Because I just worked with all of these young kids in Ethiopia that have nothing, but just give you everything. Their energy is just incredible, you know, and they're just so, so open to anything, you know. And it's life-changing experiences. And, you know, performing and working in places like India, is you realise that these audiences, I mean, again, it was the show that I was involved in was very current. It was about social media and online dating and stuff like that. And it was a physical theatre piece. And so, yeah, you just realise that although we're living at the same time, we're experiencing vast differences, you know, and you can't comprehend how some of the other kids are living compared to our kids. You know, when you go and you see it with your own eyes, it's like you realise how important art is to people, actually. You know, dance and music, and because it's an escapism. It's a complete, you know, for a lot of people, it's an escape. Like, even in the UK, they work with the young offenders, you know. If you imagine some of these kids, they have to go back home to families that, you know, the parents might be drug addicts or, you know, and these kids, for the time they're with you, they don't have to worry about any of that. They just have to do a dance program. They just get to listen to some music and they just get to, you know, and this is what I learned from it. You know, rugby at one point was my escapism. And then when I didn't have that anymore, it was dancing. And, you know, when I get to perform, and even now when I get to teach, it's the best, it's my happiest place, you know what I mean?
So it was really timing for you, wasn't it? Because with that horrendous accident that happened for you and then you kind of found dance, it's replaced a huge hole in your life, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, everything's timing, really, innit? For everybody, no matter what path you kind of go down. But I've never really made a definite decision to say, like, this is where I'm going to be. Because something's happened along the lines. You know, I've always kind of got, I've wanted to be a rugby player. I've wanted to do this. I wanted to do that. And then something's happened that has helped guide me in a different way. Again, meeting people as well, talking to, like us now having this conversation, you know, you realise how close connected you are to other
in
people.
In Hull. Everybody knows everyone.
But this is the beauty of Hull, man. This is the absolute beauty of Hull. Is that you can literally, you know, I love Trinity Market, right? I love it. And the refurb, 2017, the refurb around there, fantastic. The guy in there, Alessandro, the guy.
Oh, I love it. I'm there all the time.
Brilliant. That place is brilliant, right? And now, because he knows my wife's Italian and he knows I'm trying to learn Italian, every time I go, ciao, bello, bello, and we try, I have a little bit of a conversation in Italian for the few words that I know, and then we swap it back into English and stuff like that, but... It's characters, man. It's great. Yeah.
And where do you see yourself in 5 years' time? What do you want to have achieved by then or be doing?
With 10 Foot, I think we want to keep... The idea was always to have a professional dance company based in Hull. And by that, what I mean is a company that is creating performance work, either be it involving the community or be it involving professional dancers, but is a continuous presence in the city. Because at the minute, we don't have that. So if you want to be a dancer and you get to... So Hull, right, churns out some of the best dancers in the profession. But we can't come back to the city because there's nothing for us in the city. So we wanted to set 10 Foot Dance up as something that we can get people to come back to. It's so difficult. It's so difficult because of the way that the arts are funded, but it's also so difficult because of the way that funding works in Hull, you know, and it's just about, I don't know, it's just about the artistic community really coming together and trying to help each other really in Hull. But ideally, that's what I would like to see, 10 Foot Dance as a full-time company in Hull, going out, delivering workshops, creating performance pieces, and not just being known in Hull, but getting recognised outside of the city. Like Phoenix Dances for Leeds, like Ballyloronics for Newcastle. You know, all of these other cities have a company that is kind of associated with the city.
So if anyone's starting out in dance or trying to set up a company or any element in theatre or anything, what is your advice for people starting out in this world?
Well, in dance in particular, get ready to be in pain a lot of the time because it's very painful, as you'll know. but no, my biggest thing would be just like what my family said to me, really, whether it's sport, whether it's music, whether it's dance, whatever it is, just keep going with it and don't give in. Like I try and tell my kids, you know, my son, he didn't want to go to university, he didn't want to go to college, and he works in caravans and he loves it. And I've always said to him, like, you know, Jack, whatever you want to do, you're young enough to do it. If something comes up and you want to change your mind and go in a completely other direction, just go for it and I'll support it. And, you know, I think just go for it.
I think we live in a world now where you can change as well, because years ago you got quite stuck in a company and you stayed there. But now I think you can move around and try new things and change your career path, can't you?
Absolutely, yeah. And I think what you said earlier on about having a thick skin, especially in the arts, is something that you, if you get that early, you're gonna last, because everybody's got something to say. And if you're creating a piece of work that you're putting in front of the public, it's best to kind of not be too precious about what people are going to say, because there's, for every one person that goes, "That was beautiful, that's amazing," there's going to be five thousand more.
Yeah.
All of these things, like sport, you know, getting into sport from a young age, that's what gave me all of those skills to respect, you know, the respect element of it for the referees, the respect for your coaches, the putting your jersey and the tie on at the end of a match, all of that stuff. You know, like, and a lot of young kids, they don't have that. So whether that's dance or sport or playing the guitar or playing an instrument or something like that, something that gives you that focus or gives you that skill set from a young age is so valuable. It's so valuable. Like our website says, I think, you know, our 10-foot dance websites, you know, we want to create small-scale, large-scale theatre work for and with the community.
If you could work with anybody, who would it be? I just like to throw these little questions in.
Yeah.
Get you thinking.
What, right now? Living or...
Astor present. I've asked others before if you could, you know...
I'd love to see the process of Fred Astaire, man. I'd love to see his process, how he created the work ethic that he put into his routines. You know, I would love to see that process. You know, just, and I love sitting in rehearsals. So when I work at Old Truck, I love just sitting in the rehearsal room and seeing how Mark directs and other people direct. You know, I love learning from other people. So it's not even necessarily about me wanting to kind of, you know, I'd be happy just sat in a corner, just watching the process of, as a company, for 10 foot, I think it would be really good for us to be able to spend time with, there's a company based in Leeds called Slung Low Theatre Company that's run by a guy called Alan Lane. And they've basically acquired an old social club in Leeds and turned it into a theatre venue. And they've made it work around their local community. So I'd love to spend some time with them and collaborate with them. And I think that would really help us grow as a company to see how they work.
Thanks for listening. We're now available on all the major podcast platforms. Just search for Hull Libraries. So if you enjoyed this podcast, you can get all of the latest episodes as soon as they're out. In the meantime, if you want to check out any of our amazing services at the Hull Libraries, please check out the website hcndel.co.uk/libraries or any of our social media channels. Thanks for listening and see you next time.